Okay, so we're speaking here about what the Rebbe, the Pious Sestner Rebbe, says is the main problem we have when it comes to educating the youth. He says the main problem is that people end up trying to establish their own opinions way too early at way too young an age is when it happens. And he says that there's two problems that come with that. In other words, children feel like they are entitled, or the youth feel like they're entitled to their own opinion, and they know what's right and what's good. And for that reason, if someone else tries to impress upon them otherwise, so they feel like that person is trying to railroad them or trying to control them. They look at their father, they look at their Rebbe, or someone who's trying to give them advice as like some sort of tyrant who's trying to dictate, like a dictator who's trying to to overpower him. And there becomes resistance and struggle. Why? Because what are you telling me what to do? I know what's good for me. I know what I need. I know when I'm supposed to take a break, how I'm supposed to break a break. I know where I'm supposed to go. I know how, and all that. And therefore, it becomes friction and it becomes difficult. That's one problem that happens. And there's no feeling of teamwork that we're working together. Another problem, which is maybe even bigger than the first problem, as he mentioned, is that people start at a young age to get to establish a certain affinity towards things. And when you're young and immature, your affinity ends up being to something that is not necessarily what you're really going to want when you're older. I'll tell you a cute story that happened with Reb Shach. I heard this from Reb Moshe Silverberg. He's a Rosh Yeshiva in America. So he told me that he heard this from Reb Bergman. Reb Shach was once, I have a great picture of Reb Shach giving candies out to kids. I know some of you probably seen it. I have a book of like great pictures of like, you know, from Klal Yisrael. It's like some awesome, awesome pictures in this book. There's a picture of Rav Huttner learning on the plane while the plane was hijacked. Rav Huttner was on a plane that was hijacked. And they have a picture of him learning, there's a picture of the Panovich Rav walking on the scaffolding as they were building the Yeshivas Panovich. There's a picture of Reb Shach giving candy to a kid. Actually, in this picture, the kid was hiding one candy behind its back because it wanted another one. So he tells Reb Shach, I want a candy. And you see the kid holding the candy behind his back and this big smile on Reb Shach's face. Reb Shach was the Rosh Yeshiva of Panovich. He was the Gadol Hadar. He was also the candy man. Anyway, so one time, he gave out a candy. He wanted to give a candy to a kid. So he asked the kid if he wants the red one or he wants the green one. And whoever was there, maybe it was the Shabbos or maybe the father, said to him, I don't understand why you're asking that type of question to the kid. Esav was criticized for doing that. Esav said, Haliteni na mina adayma adayma zeh. Just give me from the red stuff. Like, Esav was criticized for being so superficial and just seeing, like, the color and not, you know, seeing it for anything more than that. So Reb Shach, just without blinking, answered. He said, yeah, Esav is criticized because Esav was meant to be an adult and he was still thinking like a child. A child only sees, that's what a child sees because he's a child. Now, if a child at such a young age thinks that he's entitled to have opinions, so he knows what he's going to want to be when he grows up. He knows what's good and what's bad. He knows what's right and what's wrong. So then we have, Rahman al-Islam, we have children that girls that want to be boys. So they give them hormones and they allow them to do that because you're entitled to your opinion at such a young age. And Rahman al-Islam, they're drastically altering their life in such an unhealthy fashion. And we're allowing them, we're promoting this to happen. And this is a terrible thing because when they get older, they've already been they've already have ingrained in them very, very unhealthy ideals. And we're trying to uproot that. As opposed to if you could get a child to be able to get influenced by what we know is good and what we know is right. And then the child, he has an affinity towards that later. And affinities are super powerful. We spoke about it at Chal Shudas a little bit. How Reuven liked Yosef. Even the older brothers felt threatened by Yosef. And by the way, the one who should have felt the most threatened by Yosef was who? Reuven, because Reuven was the Bechor. And here comes Yosef. Yosef seems to be trying to take over his place as being numero uno. But Reuven didn't feel, he wasn't threatened, because he had a predisposition to like Yosef. Because in Yosef's dream, he kind of included Reuven back into the Shiftei Kar. Reuven thought he was on the outs because of what happened with Bilhah. There was a pretty, it looks like a not so simple story over there. He thought he was on the outs. And because Yosef's dream brought Reuven back in, therefore Reuven had an affinity towards Yosef. And that affinity allowed him to see things differently. And our affinities make a big difference. And if a child starts at a young age to like start having like an affinity towards something, then to undo that is a lot of work. But if he has an affinity towards Kedusha, so then that helps him as he moves forward to be able to grow with that. So therefore, that's the challenge that we have, where children are establishing their own opinions at a very young age, and often their opinions are very inaccurate for what something that's mature and responsible and good. So here we go on page Tezayin. Im nachdor el toich nefesh, and we're saying the following thing: Im nachdor, if we dig down el toich nefesh hanar, and you get really into the soul of this young man, v'nisboine, and we try to ponder and we try to understand nisyoinos zakim v'amitim b'chol mahalcha, understand the challenges that people have in the entire process of challenges that people have. Nira shal pi haroi, we'll see that in general, Ein Hanar Sar Midarke Hashem Bepamachas. The lad will not deviate from the Derech of Hashem in one shot, just like in a flash, just like that. It's not like a person like, you know, one day wakes up and decides, okay, I want to be a Rasha. It doesn't work that way. Loi Mechal Shabbos Bepamachas. A person doesn't like just go like just like all of a sudden flip a switch and he becomes a Mechal Shabbos just in 1 second. Even doesn't go from the Beis Medrash to theaters and all different types of terrible places. Doesn't happen at once. Lehavdil pisoy, even doesn't happen in a flash. Hagemara Imeres. The Gemara says, Kach umnusoy shel yetzer hara. This is the craft of the Yetzer Hara. This is his work. This is the way that he operates. Hayoy moimer lucha say kach. Today he says, do this. Ulamachor asei kach. And tomorrow do that. What does it mean? He gets at you slowly. He slowly tries to like to tear down your sensitivities, to wear away at you. And he tells you to do just something small and then do something else. That's the way the Yetzer Hara works. The Yetzer Hara, he gets people to do small things. And then eventually, what happens? Right? Sometimes people do things, and they'll say, I don't think it's so bad. It's not so bad. I often ask them, how bad does it have to be in order for it to be wrong? If it's not so bad, if it's bad, it's bad. But that's what the Yetzer Hara wants. It's exactly what he wants. He's not looking to do the big bad things, because he can't get that. It's too much of a reach. He wants to do the things that are, it's not so bad. Okay, this, I can still do that, and then you do, and then before you know it, that's what happens. And that's the Yetzer Hara. That's the way he operates. Right? The pasuk says, Yetzer Lev Ha'adam, Ra Min Urav, because Machsheves Liboy, Rak Ra Kol Hayoyim. Rak Ra, says the Peleoyts. What does it mean? Rak is only bad. It's not so bad, says the Peleoyts. That's what he does. Rak Ra Kol Hayoyim. He doesn't want you to do the big bad things. It's not so bad. It's like, come on, it's not hard. And that's all he's going for, the Yetzer Hara. That's what he's going after. He's going after trying to get us. He's not going to get a person who gets up every single morning at Nates to just start like not davening at all. So a guy who gets Nates instead, I'll go to the 7:30 minyan. It's not so bad down to 7:30 minyan. You're right, for sure. Then I'll down to 8:30 minyan. It's not so bad down to 8:30 minyan. Then he's going to come a little bit late. So he doesn't say karbonis. It's not so bad. I don't say karbonis. And before you know it, he puts on his tefillin by baruch. Okay, it's like, I'm still davening with a minyan. And then before you know it, he's like, he puts on his tefillin sometime in the afternoon. And before you know it, it's like, that's the way he operates. That's the way he starts. He gets, that's his point of entry. He never starts with a person like 3 steps away from where he is. Almost never. So this is the Yetzer Hara. Now listen to this insight. I hope you appreciate the brilliance of the Piasetzna. He says, "Lufum riata royim b'gemara, rakish abakvar laasoy says a ma'isim haroyim rachmana litzlan." It seems from here that when a person's coming to do averus, that's the way Yetzer Hara gets to you. He's trying to get at you practically to do the wrong thing. He doesn't start with getting you to do a grave avera. slowly starts like bringing you down into the muck. Slowly, slowly, before you know it, you're all the way down at the bottom. Aval kad chazinan, gam terem shebo lemaisa. However, we see way before he comes doing something wrong. Harishon hachikal, even the smallest thing. Gam bedaitoi pnimo, hamashber, inside of his heart, inside of his mind, the fracture, the break that happens, lo nasa pisoi mumepamachas, in his hashkafas, in his outlook, in his attitude, doesn't all happen at once, all of a sudden it changes. Raklifnei shona o yoiser, could have started a year ago or more. Hischila daitoi nispatseya ma'at. His mind starts getting like different types of wounds, different types of thoughts, that unhealthy thoughts. Petza ve'eno petza. Some of them are, they're not so bad. Right? Not so bad. Kaneda nearly babayas. Person says, it appears to me like I have a nega in my house. Rak kinega. Nega menu nega. It's not like a full-fledged, full-blown nega. It's not a full-blown that he's got something that's... It's just mimenu mispatzas. Machshava daka mina daka. Small little thing that's off. A teeny bit. Kind of. Krum thoughts. Bad, like unhealthy thoughts. Listakal ala Torah va'avoida. Ka'al dover nivze ubatlonis. He looks at like, what are we learning here for? What am I doing over here? This what a waste of time. This is not productive. V'ala oylem hachitzoini. He looks out there at the world. Shal hoylulus be'iris v'pachazurs. He looks at the world that's full of hoylus, which is empty, just frivolous. Be'iris, it's emptiness. Ki yofe v'toif. That's good. It's beautiful. And the smallest reason can cause this teeny little thought to enter into his mind. It doesn't change much about what he does. It doesn't change the way he's behaving. It's just a thought that's going on in his head. His friends, his rebbeim, don't see any change. There's no change in his behavior. It's just the thoughts going on in his mind. Ach ma'at ma'at misamekes. It slowly starts getting deeper and deeper. Ibn nafshoi. U'misracheves. And it starts expanding. V'machshavtoi minefesh ad basar machala. And it will consume him from his spirit to his body. U'pisoi kol rash nishma. And suddenly we hear like this kol rash. Hine ozav espes elokim. He's left the house of Hashem. Nafal aver shachas rachman letzlam. Bididi have uvda. I had such a story with a friend of mine. I might have told some of you about him before. I don't remember exactly when, but I probably did. I had a friend who was from a more modern family. And he was already, getting stark in high school. Came to Eretz Yisrael and he starked out like not stop. Super stark. He was super stark. He was so stark that Thursday nights he used to have a fabrang in his yeshiva. And he would sit at the head and he would be the person. He was like the gadol of the Talmidim, of the gadol hador in this yeshiva. He would sit there and give the oil of musr with the lights out like a whole matziv. And, he was like mamish super stark. But his parents were very insistent that he go to college. And he wasn't holding by fighting his parents. So his Rebbeim very much insisted that he should go to, encouraged him to go to Ner Yisrael of Baltimore. It's a rabbinic, Ner Israel rabbinical college. But it's a Tyredic place. They wanted him to go there and they encouraged him very much to do that. And his parents didn't want it. It wasn't prominent enough for him. He was coming from like a really, like they really wanted to go to like a more prestigious yeshiva that maybe has, college that has a yeshiva on the side maybe a little bit. They thought that would be more appropriate for him. And his Rebbeim said, you're not holding it. You're not stable enough. You're not ready for that. There's too many challenges over there for you. And it's not a good place for you. Don't go. But He went after his second year in Eretz Yisrael. We got together on Purim that year. We spent Purim together in Lakewood. And he looked the same. He had his pace still behind his ears. So everything the same. He said to me on Purim, and obviously when his filter was a little bit less, it was turned a little bit down a little, his filter wasn't as strong, he said, "Everything is the same. I'm exactly the same. There's one thing I don't get," he says to me. "I don't understand how Hashem can tell us to kill little babies. How are we supposed to kill Amalek? I don't get it. Doesn't make any sense. If I had to do that, I wouldn't do that. I couldn't kill Amalek. Everything else is the same," he tells me. "I'm the same." And I'm like, it was such a silly comment, because we don't know who Amalek is b'zman hazeh. No one's killing Amalek, right? We actually gave a shiur on a mishpah one Thursday night. There is an opinion that any person that is like anti-Semitic is a din of Amalek, and you're allowed to kill them, but we don't paskin that way. So no one's killing Amalek at all. So like, what is he saying over here? What was this? But it wasn't long before he went off the derech totally. I mean, he went so far off the derech that he used to work in a kitchen, and they said that he's worse than the guy. He used to like hang like milk over the chicken soup just to like, you know, to like get all the, from people like all fanerved, you know, get all like, he's like, "Look, here's chicken milk," you know. Like, it was like, what is going on? He was like, he went way off the derech. Shem Yirachem. And at the time, it was just thoughts. There were these unhealthy thoughts going on in his head. They were unhealthy. And, he said, "Nothing's changed. But sometimes that's the Yetzer Hara. He gets at you with one little ridiculous thing. Like, I have a problem with understanding how you could kill an innocent baby of Amalek." Okay, that's where it started, and it spread. Because the Torah is corrupt in his mind. There's something wrong with the Torah. And it spread, and it spread all the way till the whole thing in the garbage. Hashem Yirachem. The happy ending to the story it's somewhat happy, is he eventually, Baruch Hashem, years later, came back after he married and divorced and remarried, and now is from, even though he's, obviously, been hurt quite a bit. But managed to complete the journey and come back. But my point is that a lot of times there are these things that go on a person's head, and if a person's not careful with them, and a person exposes himself to all different types of crazy ideas, and we expose ourselves. I remember one time I was in a bus here in Eretz Yisrael, and the bus driver was playing Glacier music. He was playing a famous song from the 60s. There was a band from the 60s, the Shrutzim they were called, and they had music. And they were very, this very, very popular music, the Shrutzim. And this song was playing, and it was like, imagine a beautiful world. And I'm sitting on the bus, it's quiet, and I'm hearing this song from the Shrutzim. Right? Imagine there's no heaven. Imagine there's no Gehenna. They didn't use the word Gehenna, but imagine there's no... And I'm thinking to myself, what are they telling me to do? They're telling me, imagine that there's no Olam Haba. This is the song that people are walking around singing. Imagine there's no heaven, and there's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you saying? Why are you listening to that? Why are you allowing yourself to be affected by that? And a person's... There are all these things that we're putting in, and they're subtle. They're subtle. But someone thinks to himself, you know what, imagine there's no heaven. Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, he thinks it's cool, right? He thinks it's cool. So I think, yeah, he's cool. I think, so. And then all of a sudden we get confused. And we don't know. We get all different types of questions. And like, we have all different types of interesting questions about, like, you know, about the authenticity of the Torah. And there's things that bother us, things we don't confuse, and we don't know. And all of a sudden, and then it starts to grow. This is how it happens. Al piroif, nega pnimi ze, b'nefesh, b'min yeshius v'hisnagdus haniskorim la'el. In general, where does this come from? Where a person has these crumb thoughts, because a person thinks that I'm entitled to an opinion. So he has an opinion, like, I don't understand how you could tell me to kill an innocent child. Of course you don't. There's a lot of things you don't understand. You're right. You don't understand. But a person is like, well, I think it's not right. That's a problem. Because he thinks he's entitled to have his opinion. So he argues with the Bible. He's arguing with God. Hisnagdus, the resistance of sino misbatzetzes bekirbo. There's a hatred that's boiling inside of him. Neged aviv, against his father. V'raboisav, against his rabbi, mechanchov, his educators. Because why are they telling him that this is the way you have to go through life? What are you making me do it like this? I want to do it like that. Loirak negdom. It's not only against them. Misoyres is nagdusai. Becomes his resistance. But the one that they represent, the one that told them, the one that's instructing them, their entire lifestyle, everything Judaism, Yiddishkeit, doesn't become about the rabbi, it becomes about the rabbinate. Doesn't it become about that one Jew? It becomes Judaism. Maschil l'estakel v'shot nefesh. The sin and the whole thing is not for me. Because this person represents that. And I hate him. Or I hate what he's doing to me. So I want help. Toitzois divareinu haim. The results of our words are the following thing. Shemipnim, back in the day. Before we feel like we were up against so much resistance. Back when children were much more receptive. They were much more accepting. Kol madrich va'av hayochel lachanech es yalde Yisrael. Anyone, any mechanech, any father, any rebbe could be mechanech lohayroisim derech Hashem to teach them the way of Hashem. Va'afim lohayim medayik lachanech, and even if he wasn't so particular and so careful to be mechanech al pi darkoi, and he wasn't like trying to get to exactly what does this child need. Sheramas lo neshlama melech. That Shlomo Melech said al pi darkoi shall call ben utalmid daitu atzmusay, to understand his intellect. To understand his individuality. And the Rebbe at the time and the father wasn't doing that. Rak Margul Mitzavah was just instructing him, was just giving him, teaching him habits. Hayadam came out, that worked. It worked. Because he wasn't fighting against anyone. There was no resistance. Because back in the day, a child, when he was young, Af ben Arusa, even when he's a teen, Nefesh Nekiyoisa, he was clean. He wasn't coming with anything of, you know, from himself, like, this is the way I feel, so why are you telling me to do otherwise? Not just that. But he knows inside of himself, he knows deep down, he feels that there's his emptiness, and he understands that his mind is not developed. He has an internal hunger or thirst. He wants someone to give him instructions. He wants someone to give him a little direction. Anyone who can help me out over here, I know. What am I supposed to do? And even if it happens a time, that a little bit of kid starts, like, you know, acting out. And he doesn't listen. But he knows inside of himself that he made a mistake. He knows he's wrong. And his father or his rebbe, who they're miyaser him, which means they punish him, they even hit him. Hatzadik, that he's the one who's right. The child knows inside that he's really wrong. Ruchai nafal bekirbo, get a little bit down. Ma'at v'kofes atzma, and he'll motivate himself. He'll push himself. L'shmoya me'ata, to listen from now. Koilim, to what they're saying. U'levatlas ritzoinel, if they ritzoinem. And to be mevatel his own ratzon, and know that they have his best interests in mind, and they know better than him. U'ma'at me'at, slowly, kolat bekirboy, he's able to start absorbing inside of himself. Toiras Hashem, lios Yehudi Neman. The Torah of Hashem to be an authentic Yid. There are people that are bigger B'nai Torah, smaller B'nai Torah. Everyone in general, that's the way it was. this problem that we're experiencing of OTD, at risk, whatever you want to call it, it's something that's relatively new, and it's happened, and we didn't have it beforehand. Lo kenata, that's not the way it is anymore. Hayeshius shall I yell it. Child that feels, the youth that feel that they have this individuality, this independence. Va'atzmusoi, miskadem, it's coming prematurely. Lizgabel b'loitoi, and it's forming before its time. V'imoi gam hargoshoisev, with it also his feelings. V'shiifoisev, and what he feels is what are his goals. V'hashkafoisev, and his whole attitude. Bo'idam boiser, and it's bitter. It's not ripe. It's not ready. Boy misgalish, and they're coming out. Ubesibasam, and because of that, Peirud v'sino. It causes distance. It causes hatred. Ben abanim v'hoireim oyla. It's coming up between children and their parents and their abayim. Bnei doireinu, the people of our generation. Shahayu mukhsharim. They were once upon a time. They were mukhshar. They had the talent. Liyos yehudim ne'manim. They had the ability to be authentic erlchayin. Yatzu ve'inam. They're gone. They're not here anymore. Nefcho aleinu la'oyevim. They become our enemies. Shoychekim u'macharkin shein. They actually, literally means they're like, they show their teeth at us. They're like, they're growling at us. Va'al umanaseinu and our anamuna. V'zois rosh shlomo ha'melech b'chochmas Hashem asher bo. Shlomo ha'melech anticipated this. He saw this was going to happen. Meirosh. Yizilano. Chanoich lenar al pi darkoi. He warned us. You need to educate the youth Ali Yarko, because it's not going to work. There's going to come a time, which we're in now, where you're going to need to have individual relationship with your Talmidim, to be able to understand them, and understand what motivates them, and understand what they're going through. That's Chanoich Lenar Al Pidarkoi, Loi Betzivoi Bilvad, not just with instructions, Rak Bechinuch, and Chinuch Al Pidarkoi Shakol Echad VeEchad. Of every single one of them. Shlomo Melech saw that and he told us that's what we have to do. Ki la'el dibarnu. Because previously we spoke and we said, Shekol nefesh yeled Yisrael oitzer shel kedushahu. Every single soul is like a treasure chest of Kedusha. Every single person, every single one of us has so much Kedusha inside of us, and maybe we're not in touch with it yet. You have to know how to work with it. There's an amazing story, a mushel, that happened, allegedly. The Dubna Magid, his yahrzeit is this week. So the legend goes the following thing. It's a story with the Dubna Magid. He was a real misnagid, and the story of with Rabbi Natan of Breslov, who's also Yortzeit was this past week. Someone came to the Dubna Magid. Dubna Magid was famous for his mashalim. This is the way the legend goes. The Dubna Magid, someone came to the Dubna Magid and he said to him, for some reason I'm just not being inspired. You know, the Magid was, you know, speaking and saying his mashalim. He's like, I don't know why I'm not. Why am I not being inspired? Why do I not feel like you're, I'm not getting, turned on? So the Magid spoke about, he said that, you know, there's people that have a, something that they use to fan flames, right? What's it called, that thing that they use to, a bellow? I think it's called bellows. They used to have, back in the day, they had fireplaces. You have a fireplace. So someone saw this amazing thing. There's this fireplace there. Right? And looks like there's, you know, it's like very quiet. Takes out this bellows and starts doing it. And all of a sudden the fireplace just like, all of a sudden erupts with all of these flames. So someone else who was there saw it. He said, can I borrow your thing, your bellows? He borrows the bellow, he goes home, and he goes like this, and nothing happens. It's like, what's going on? So he went back to his friend. He says, like, why? I did the same thing you did and nothing worked. He says, yeah, because there are coals. In your fireplace, there's no coals. So said the Dubna Magid, allegedly, he said to the person, he says, you want to know why you're not getting turned on? Because there's no fire inside of you. So I'm using the fan, but there's nothing to fan. There's no coals. That was hard for him to hear. He went to Rabbi Natan of Breslov, and he said, Rabbi Natan of Breslov said to him, he said, that's not the pshat. He said, Avada, there's coals there. You just have to know how to blow. You have to know how to blow on the flames. Every person has a coal, because everyone has deep down, they do have, there's everyone of us has a fire inside of us. There's a pintaliyid. It's just we have to know how to get it working. And what works for one person doesn't work for someone else. And for some people, it's the mushal of the Dubna Maga that's going to turn them on. For other people, it's Reb Tzadok HaKoyim's farm. For someone else, it's going to be Nesiv HaShalom. For someone else, it's going to be the Malbim. Every person's got something else that talks to them. So we just have to know how to blow it. And you have to understand the nature of the child to know what he needs. Hey, Nemes. It's true, we've all been affected by what's going on in the world around us. We're all being brought out the same way we said that there's this tendency today for people to their personality, their individuality is coming out early. And it's happening also by from people. But he says, but remember what's deep inside over here. If everyone has deep inside a fire, a flame, we have to know how to talk to that fire, how to get that fire to spread. And then what we're gonna bring out is an oitzer of Kedusha. So Beis Hashem, B'siyata D'Shmaya, next week we're going to continue. We're going to speak about over here how to understand, how to deal with the challenge of the times. For sure the times are more challenging. And we have a bigger challenge ourselves, in ourselves, because we also have to deal with our reality that we've been affected by this. But at the same time, if we harness our talents, so then we too can become great people, continue Beis Hashem.